I've turned to read God's word, and a reading is from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah and chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 13 of this chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me? And have walked after vanity, and are become vain. Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Shittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant to us all understanding at reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship, this time coming to a portion from Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we're singing from verse 7 to the end of that psalm. The Lord of hosts upon our side doth constantly remain. The God of Jacob's our refuge us safely to maintain. Come and behold what wondrous works have by the Lord been wrought. Come, see what desolations he on the earth hath brought. Unto the ends of all the earth wars unto peace he turns. The bow he breaks, the spear he cuts, in fire the chariot burns. Be still and know that I am God. Among the heath and I will be exalted, I on earth will be exalted high. Our God, who is the Lord of hosts, is still upon our side. The God of Jacob, our refuge forever, will abide. Psalm 46, from 7 through to the end of that psalm, the Lord of hosts upon our side. The message and the word and the text that I want to come to this morning has been upon my mind for some time, and I've tried to part with it, to test it, but it has come back constantly to me. So therefore this morning, would you turn with it to the prophecy of Hosea. The prophecy of Hosea and chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. And then I'll indicate where I want particularly to let our thoughts linger. Hosea chapter 10 and reading from verse 11. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plough, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arabel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cast off. And in the midst of all of that reading, I want, if there is any thought, word, or message that lingers with us from our service this morning, let it be this one. What the word of the verse says to us there, it is time to seek the Lord, and especially this, break up your fallow ground in the middle of verse 12. Break up your fallow ground. Just before we come into the introduction and things like that, let's be careful to get the meaning of it in our minds right at the very beginning. Here the prophecy and the prophet is speaking, and he is focusing to them and bringing it to us, that things which have been neglected for so long now need to be attended to. The ground is fallow. It's been neglected. Attend to it and do something with it. And that challenge is sharpened and all the more powerful in its application to them and coming down to ourselves in the face of all the blessings that we have received from the Lord. That neglect is all the worse because of these blessings we have received. What will happen if we don't apply ourselves to these things? What will happen? Again, that's brought out for us here. In so many different ways, God has been good to us. And he looks for and he expects from us a response. And when it's not there, he comes asking. He deals with us on very personal and very private terms. He repeats the good things that he's dealt with, given to us. And he brings this challenge to us, every one of us, this morning. Particularly appropriate, perhaps, as we go into a new year. He challenges us with this very vivid illustration. Break up your fallow ground. Attend to the things that have been neglected. So how can we introduce that and proceed with it this morning? Well, we all know that the Lord has a variety of different means of getting into our lives and getting our attention. There is a whole variety of ways the Lord uses to focus our mind on spiritual things. He uses, if I can use this means of, he uses different classrooms to teach and to get different lessons to us. And when we've learned in one subject, in one discipline, in one classroom, we move on to another one for a different lesson. Moses is perhaps the best illustration of that. For 40 years he was brought up in the councils and courts of Egypt. And there he was given, exposed to and brought into his own soul the culture of Egypt, the learning of Egypt at that time, the power and the leadership and the skills that were required to be a very competent leader of a great nation and a great infrastructure. He learned all these things. He was trained, he was equipped for 40 years to be a leader. But there was a vital part that had yet to be put in place if he was to be a leader of God's people. He had to rely upon their God also. And so he changed classrooms, and for 40 years instead he was out in the wilderness, out of the sight of men. He was out there all the while for 40 years developing his reliance on the sufficiency of God for a whole variety of needs. And when the bell went for the end of the lessons, when Moses met and was confronted with the burning bush that was not consumed, lessons and school was over, and he was then called into this office of leading God's people. And all that he learned in Egypt and in the wilderness was put to the test in the most demanding of ways. He was called to lead a nation that was weak in its faith, prone to stray from the path that's set before it, provoking time after time the loving kindness of the Lord to them. The classrooms that Moses went through. Ourselves, we go through similar experiences in other ways. There are times when the Lord puts us into the gym, the spiritual gym. We've lost something of our spiritual fitness, our shape. We've lost something of the discipline we once had, and we've let things slip. We've lost that sharp spiritual edge. So therefore, to regain it, the Lord puts us into the spiritual gym. To regain what we've lost, or what's gone weak with us. That's the whole message of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. It requires sweat and toil and effort. And there in Hebrews 12, we're told especially, don't think bad of the Lord when he deals with us in this way. Because he's always dealing with us in his love and his care for us to mature and build up a Christian character that reflects the character of his own Son. And there are times when that maturing and promoting of a Christian likeness can be achieved only in that kind of way. So there we have a principle that applies in our own lives time after time. The Lord can put us into different experiences, different classrooms, to bring home a different lesson. And that's the very thing that's before us here in this text. The way the Lord had dealt with and was dealing with his people. So holding on to that text that I gave, it is time to break up your fallow ground. Let us therefore first of all look here in this text at a change that is coming. A change that has come. A change is coming is what I want us first to think of. And the change that is brought before us in this text comes, as I say, in two ways. So let's break it down and apply it like this. The people, God's people, they were like, we're told here in verse 11, they were like a trained heifer, a heifer that is taught. In Jeremiah chapter 31, the opposite picture is given to us of a stubborn heifer that won't respond to the instructions and the demands that are laid upon them. That's the kind of character of a sinner that is balking at the discipline of God in coming and dealing with him or with her. But here it's quite the reverse. Here we have cattle that have learned certain tasks, respond readily to instructions that are given and demands that are made. That's the kind of picture that is given to us here. A heifer that is taught. A picture given of God's dealings with his people in the past. Here we have the picture of cattle that particularly were trampling and refining the grain. They either walked round it in a circle and by their hooves and such like, they flattened out and prepared the grain for separation. Or perhaps they dragged a sledge with teeth on it that would achieve the same purpose on a greater, wider scale. When they were doing that, they had the freedom to move around. Yes, they were on a circle all the time, but they were alone. They didn't have to coordinate their activities, one cattle with the other cattle, and being yoked together as they went round. There was none of that for them. They were on their own. They had the freedom to go at whatever speed they wanted. They weren't yoked together. They were also free to eat what they wanted as they went round. They could dip their head and they could take something there to eat for themselves. A picture that is given that we can translate to ourselves of the way in which the early years of that nation and people, the early years or maybe past experiences for ourselves, life seemed to be so calm. So easy. There were little or no troubles for us to contend with, and few problems or difficulties came our way. Fresh and exciting each and every day. New things to discover, new things to explore, new things to experience. Particularly notice what it says here. In verse 11, I passed over her fair neck. There we have an illustration of the way in which the master spared that beast. There wasn't anything put on the neck of the beast to in any way spoil, detract from that beauty. That's what it's speaking about. Translating it to ourselves, the Lord never was too demanding on what he asked of us back then in past experiences. The picture that is given to us here of the Lord's dealings with perhaps you or me, sparing and limiting the demands that he laid before us. But what happened next? Change was coming, and it's in two waves. First of all, that heifer ate, got fat, became slick. It indulged, and because it indulged, it was no longer fit for purpose. We can enjoy blessings from the hand of the Lord, and we begin to assume them. We begin to expect them. We settle down and we become complacent. In Jeremiah chapter 48, it speaks about the nation of Moab. And Moab was not disturbed. The picture is of wine that's poured from bottle to bottle to refine it and to get out the residue and to make it just that little bitty better. That never happened to Moab. She settled down and she was complacent where she was and what she had. Nothing shaked them. Nothing disturbed them. And that's a fearful danger that is brought out from the life and the nation of Moab. And through time, we can become like them or like this heifer before us in this text. We lose the sense of awe, the wonder. We fail to translate or to trace out the hand of the God who gives us so much. The freshness of our spiritual dealings of Lord with us is lost. The Lord repeats time after time the good things that He gives us because of that very danger, but we don't heed. We accept the blessings. We engage in the privileges. But we soon resent any demands that the Lord makes upon us which interfere with our own self-interest, our desires or our agendas. We take, but we fail to give. We balk at the instructions and the demands of the Lord. That's the way the heifer developed, becoming flabby, losing the discipline required of the Lord. A danger that can come upon us, and a danger that can come upon us as a nation. Sin can creep in upon us, distract us and spoil us. Soon we can be focused upon our own interests and doing things our own way. It comes down, as we say individually, it comes down to our nation. And soon, very soon, the picture that's given, we were reading it just last week, of Revelation chapter 3. But the last picture there given of the church of the Laodiceans, that Jesus Christ was on the outside, I stand at the door and knock. How easy it is for that experience to happen to our soul. How easy it is to have the outward form and the shape, as the passage there in Revelation tells us, to have a Christian name, but nothing behind it or nothing below it. That's an issue that is to be dealt with between me and my God, you and your God. Day after day we need to live in the company of our God, to depend upon His wisdom, His grace and His strength, to devote our lives constantly to His service. These are the tests that come upon us day after day in ordinary everyday living. Not our theology, not our explanations, but the way that we live out our faith. And we need that vital living relationship and dependence upon the Lord, that His word is sweeter taste each day. A testing that the Lord often engages in when we're alone with Him. So here we have a change that came, the first change that came upon them. But there's a second change that is brought before us here. Yes, change is coming. The favor of the Lord is going to end towards this heifer. We're told, what are we told here? I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Verse 11. A change is going to come. They're going to be taken out of this very comfortable situation, and a yoke is going to be put upon them, and they're going to be tethered with another animal, and they're going to pull together, and it's not going to be going round in a well ventilated, safe, protected place. It's going to be out in the open fields with all the weather that that brings, all the discomfort, all the toil that that means. That's the change that's going to come that is spoken of in this text. Dramatic change and hard times are coming. Out of the comfort zone they were once in, to the open space and the weathers and the hard work of pulling a plough. Wherever a nation Whenever we lose that appreciation of the goodness of God, the gentleness and the grace of God, whenever we lose that and pay no heed to His warnings to us, then here we have the way the Lord proceeds. Hard times are coming. Past pleasures that were enjoyed are then removed, and life becomes difficult. Mercy's abused, and mercy's forfeited. How that applies to ourselves, we can work out for ourselves. But we also need to take it and apply it to ourselves as a nation, going in especially to 2014 and all of the big decisions that are with us as a nation and as a people. How we need to break up our fallow ground. And the first thing he says is, change is coming. But not only is change coming, this also passage also goes on to speak about a challenge that is presented. Because of the change that is going to come, a challenge has been presented by the prophet to us. Because of these things, he says, look, you're neglecting things. Break up the fallow ground. Instead of being committed to your own interests, instead of going your own way and with your own counsel, the Lord is now saying to them and to us, to individuals, to ourselves as a nation, in the light of all the privileges you've had in the past, the Lord is saying, sow to yourselves in righteousness. He is saying, cultivate righteousness. Do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. Do what the Lord asks. Walk in the path He's indicated. Trust and rely upon Him. Seek what is pleasing and do what is acceptable to Him. And the encouragement that is given to us here, if you sow that way, you're going to reap in mercy. You will enjoy the steadfast love of the Lord. You will enjoy the blessings and the goodness of the Lord in a whole variety and multitude of ways. Fresh each day. A nation and a people truly blessed like that is the best hope and expectation for a new year. The Lord always rewards, delights in obedience on the part of His people. And He often comes, we're told, with His arms filled, full of blessings for everyone who walks in His ways. There's a great image that is given to us in Luke's Gospel where it says this, give and it shall be given to you. And then these words, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. That's the way in which the Lord deals with His people. That's the scale of reward and blessing He bestows when they walk sowing this righteousness for themselves. But what's involved in sowing this righteousness? Break up your fallow ground. Ground that ought to be producing, but now does not. And the prophet is simply saying to these people, look, in a moment, look out on the fields of your life. Look out on the different areas that you've been in. See how empty these fields are. Search through these fields and you cannot find any spiritual growth. Put things right. Neglect is there staring them in the face. And the Lord is saying, break up that fallow ground. It requires time and requires effort, yes. We know what it is to, if you're going to work in any field, there's always the hard pan. That area around the fences at the gate where the ground has been trodden hard and it takes effort to break up the hard pan. To get rid of the briars and the weeds and the thorns that keep invading round the fence line. To plough it, not just wimply once, but maybe twice, even three times, to get all the weed out and to bring it down to a level, workable surface and consistency. There's no point in planting the seeds when you just plough it once, because more often than not, they'll simply be smothered by the weeds re-establishing themselves. It needs strenuous, diligent work. It needs that application over things that have been neglected. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek Him as your Savior and your God. To walk in His ways. To seek His presence and His blessing upon you and with you. To live in a way that He requires of us. To do it with your whole heart. That commitment and application that is required in breaking up the fallow ground. Take it and apply it in Christian spiritual things. That's what the Lord is saying to us, and He's telling us, start now. Now is the time to seek the Lord. Maybe we've delayed and put things off time and time again in the past. We've always let the things of our own interest sneak in to ambush us. We've always allowed these other things have pushed what's important and urgent to the edge or even out of our lives. And we have become captivated and dedicated to what is less important and totally insignificant. So here the Lord is challenging us to do it now, to redress that imbalance that has been brought upon us in society and with the pressure bearing down upon us. It applies to our individuals. It applies to us as a church. It applies to us as a nation and as a people. Corruption has gone deep into our lives. It's taken years to cultivate and to grow. The fields that have been neglected are just simply smothered with so much that is sinful. And it needs hard, long work and application to have all of that removed. Sin can be very deep. Sin can be very invasive into our lives. And it needs application to remove them, to get rid of them. God has showered His blessings upon us. God has time after time enriched our life, and He waits for the only adequate response, that commitment to Him, that resolve to break up the ground and to plant, to cultivate spiritual seed, to promote spiritual growth for His glory. The challenge that He presents before us from these words: break up your fallow ground. Change is coming. Challenge is presented. If we were to think of one thing at the center of our text, let that be it, the challenge that is presented. But there are other things before it and now that follow on afterwards that we've just got to tidy up and bring before us to bring that challenge all the more powerfully to us. He then goes on to speak about the consequences that are highlighted. The consequences that are highlighted. There is a golden chain of connections in all of the experiences of our life. He says, verse 13, you have ploughed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. if we dismiss what the Lord is saying to us, if we ignore what He's placing before us, then let it be sure and let it be certain over what follows. And we're not left ignorant of that in the slightest. There is a logical connection. Consequences are highlighted for us here. If you sow in that area, then you will reap accordingly in this area also. If you put it just in a very topical thing at this time of year, if you plant peas, you're not going to get Brussels sprouts. There's a consequence set out for us here. If you're living in this kind of lifestyle, and if you're pursuing these things, if you're chasing after what you want, then don't think it's going to be any different when you get to the end of your life. Don't think that the consequences and the destination that you're going to is going to be different from the one that you pursued up till that point. Consequences are set out here for them and also for ourselves. What were they doing? They were going in their own wisdom. They were going in their own strength. That's what lay at the bottom of their thinking. That's what lay at the bottom of their policy. That was the basis of their confidence as a nation and as a people. They trusted in their own thinking. They trusted in their own wisdom and might. Their national security was based on worldly strategies. There was no reference whatsoever to the Lord in anything they set out or ordered as a nation. Consequences are therefore set out for them, and let these consequences also come home to ourselves. We sometimes think, well, it's going to turn out all right for me at the end. Sometimes we hear it said, and it's become more and more vocal in our nation and in our society, breeding upon the ignorance that so many people have today. They always quote, well, God is a God of love. As a God of love, He won't condemn me. He won't cast me away. He loves me. And so often they take that simple phrase and they build so much upon it that is built upon false conclusions. There are consequences that follow on from our lifestyle, and we therefore need to take them on board, and we need to break the habits of a life. We need the power and the strength of our God to part from the broad road and to walk the narrow way. We need the power and the strength of God to take an altogether different direction, to head for another destination. We need the power and the strength of God to put our faith and our trust, not in our own resources, to keep us safe through life or bring us through death, but we need to put our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will do these very things for us, take us safely through life and through death. Yes, there's consequences that are highlighted. And if there's consequences highlighted, then calamities are indicated. Therefore shall a tumult arise among my people, and all the fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel. This is the way it's going to be. The calamities are set out. Not just simply the principle of consequence, but calamities are now set out. If you rely on your strength and resources, then you will utterly fail. They'll give you no protection. Instead of peace and comfort, you're now going to have turmoil and the din of war. These fortresses that once were the safety and the security of the people, they're going to be taken. And the border is going to be open for invasion. What's it going to be like? We're told here that the brutality and the atrocities were like a mother being dashed to pieces upon her children. There's going to be a fearful calamity coming upon those that so ignore and fail to heed what the Lord is saying. If we lean upon anyone or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to the great momentous time of our life, when we come to the point of death and afterwards the point of meeting with our God, in these crucial, important experiences that are before you and before me, in these moments, if we are leaning on anyone or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, we will feel the fearful abandonment, loneliness and disappointment when we need help the most. Whatever we might try in life, we're still going to be dissatisfied with it. Today things, especially in these last 2 or 3 weeks, how much has been polished up? How much has been presented? How many promises have been set before us? All of them so appealing. But yet now it's all over. Tomorrow we're back to work, old clothes and porridge, as they used to say. We're back to the usual routines. And have any of these things made any difference with us? We are still the same. The only difference that we can find and will come to us is when we know the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. Sin is an awful thing. It carries with it awful suffering and awful experiences. It is horrible and it is gory. There's always the stench of death wherever the wrath of God is quenched. There is always the stench of death wherever the wrath of God is quenched. And the only place we can find that anger and wrath dealt with is at the gory place of the cross of Calvary, where the consequences of our sin are there, not only made known to us, so let's be in no doubt what's in store for us, but also where they've been dealt with by Jesus Christ the Lord. Yes, there's calamities indicated. And one last thought and we're finished. There's a certainty behind all of this. The very end of verse 15. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cast off. God will do this. It's as certain that he will act in this way to those who provoke him, as he will bless those who are his favour. There is going to be the default position of God against sin, of his wrath and his anger coming upon. And that is sure and certain. Just as it is sure and certain that the morning is going to come, and no king and no man, neither you nor me, none of us can stop the dawning of a new day. We cannot hold back the sun from scattering the darkness. So none of us can prevent this from happening. The king is taken. The city falls. And for no other reason than the wickedness of the nation and the people. Nobody to blame but themselves. Today, nobody to blame but ourselves. We try to pass the buck. We try to do things that will remove the responsibility and lay it upon others. But the buck stops here. That was the great marker, the great little block that President Reagan had upon the desk of the President of the United States. The buck stops here. And that's what happens to our soul also. Nobody can be blamed but ourselves. Because we know what God requires and we know what God asks. And the day of reckoning will come. And the only way we can be ready is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And the only way we can prepare for that is what this text tells us. Break up your fallow ground. The things that we've neglected for so long, give attention to them. Sow the seeds of righteousness. Let faith be promoted, stimulated, and strengthened with us. Because these are the things that are pleasant and pleasing in the sight and in the eye of God. May that be found with us, not only us, but our church and our nation, that we would restore and return to the old ways of trusting and relying upon our God. May that therefore be our blessing, our experience as we go into 2014. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, once again we come before Thee, casting ourselves upon Thee in prayer, and asking that Thou wouldst deal with us in Thy mercy and in Thy grace. We have no reason, we have no argument, we have nothing to plead of ourselves. All that we can do is hang all our hopes. And as we are aware of our own need and the brevity of our days, we can cling all the more tightly to the one of Thine own providing, Thine own delight in Jesus Christ Thy Son. And we ask, O Lord, that for His sake, Thou wouldst hear the cry that comes from our soul. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst deal with us in Thy grace. For in His name we come and ask. Amen. We close by singing together from Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're singing at verse 57 to verse 60. Thou my sure portion art alone, which I did choose, O Lord. I have resolved and said that I would keep Thy holy word. With my whole heart I did entreat Thy face and favour free. According to Thy gracious word, be merciful to me. I thought upon my former ways, and did my life well try. And to Thy testimonies pure my feet then turned I. I did not stay nor linger long as those that slothful are, but hastily Thy laws to keep myself I did prepare. Psalm 119, 57 to 60, Thou my sure portion art alone. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit.